Good morning. I'm Christopher Purdy, delighted to welcome you all to today's edition of All Sides Weekend, where we talk about the arts and culture, which is a fancy way of saying great things to do this weekend and further in Columbus. And it is a very busy time, so you might want to be writing all this stuff down. You actually don't need to, because I have today three leading lights in the arts here in Central Ohio who are all very busy and are here to tell us about their current projects, beginning with Jimmy Durante. Jimmy Durante is Columbus's and Central Ohio's favorite dancer choreographer. He has been traveling all over the world doing guest gigs as a choreographer, and he is also the co-producer of The Benefit, which is happening on May 21st in the Davidson Theater. You know that as the Capitol Theater in the Rife Center. He is the co-producer of this event with Attilo Bongar, who is a dancer at Ballet Met. Jimmy will be telling us more about that in a moment. Mark Schwamberger is the managing artistic director of Evolution Theater. His production of Terrence McNally's Corpus Christi opens tonight and runs for several weeks at The Shed in the Columbus Performing Arts Center. Mark, welcome. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
And the irrepressible and wonderfully dressed, I might add, Stephen Anderson, who is the producing director of Catco. You have a hit on your hands with Henry Ford's Model E, a new play by Herb Brown, and you've produced his work before. Herb was a retired judge, is he not?
That's correct. He's actually had a very interesting career because he's a person who just says, I'm done with this, I'm moving on to the next thing.
I want to have lunch with him. I hope it rubs off, yes.
Yeah.
That play is currently running, and you are beginning rehearsals for a musical, I Do, which had a big smashing success on Broadway before you were born.
No, it was about the time I was born.
But Mary Martin and Robert Preston.
That's correct.
It was based on the four poster. It's a lot of fun, so we have that to go on for. Later in this broadcast, it is my hope that we will hear from Peggy Kriya Dai, who is the artistic director of Opera Columbus. Peggy is currently in Toronto, where she is starring as Medea in Charpentier's opera with Opera Atelier. But Opera Columbus is doing Carmen next week, so Peggy will be on the phone with us later in this broadcast. Jimmy Durante, catch us up on what you've been going on since people admired you in Dracula and The Great Gatsby, etc., and tell us about The Benefit on May 21st.
The Benefit May 21st, yeah. Attila and I wanted to create a platform where we can get together and do what we love to do, which is perform and create. So we teamed up with the Central Ohio Chapter for Hemophilia, and I have a direct connection to that because my son Isaac is a hemophiliac, so it was very easy for me to link up with this foundation. And it pretty much is a gathering of some local artists and nationally recognized artists coming together to give a wonderful evening of performance.
I've been to a couple of them, and they are wonderful, and you invite some great people to be involved. And this year, May 21st, you have music. You are choreographing, and as is Attilo, in several of the pieces, you have music from Swan Lake, dances from Swan Lake, Rachmaninoff. You have a new work called Voyager. My buddy Robert Kerr is going to sing Figaro. You have Scriabin. How do you put the program together, and who's involved?
Well, a lot of the times, Attilo and I meet, and we meet with Luis Biava, who is our
yes.
principal cellist with the CSO, and he's our conductor for The Benefit. And he's the one who gathers the dancers, I mean the musicians, sorry. And we usually have around between 24 and 27 musicians on stage with the dancers. And out of all the pieces on that you will see, most of them will be played live. So Luis kind of guides us as to what we tell him what we want to do. And then he says, well, this would maybe work according to the musicians he can pull and he can get. But we want to make it a very diverse program. So we try to put Robert Kerr, the baritone singer, in there. We have a blues guitarist from North Carolina coming in. We have the local band, The Wind and the Sea, which will play. They compose a new piece of music. And it's just very eclectic and very diverse, and it's a fun evening.
There's really something here for, you know, whatever you think you love, you'll love it more, and it benefits the hemophilia, the Central Ohio Chapter of the Hemophilia Foundation.
Yes.
Which you mentioned you have a direct connection to. When did you begin doing these benefits?
This will be our fourth year doing it. The three previous years we've performed it at Ballet Met's Performance Space, and this is the first year that we'll move downtown.
So you've got three or four times the seats to sell, so let's get going here.
Yes, we have.
May 21st at 5 o'clock.
Yes.
It's in the Davidson Theater in the Rife Center. I think that's a Sunday, isn't it?
That's a Sunday, yes.
Okay.
5 o'clock show.
Can you get tickets at the door?
You can get tickets at the door, or you can go to TheBenefitColumbus.org, and you can click on the link to buy tickets.
You also have a Facebook page, I think, don't
you? The Benefit, yes.
The Benefit. So look at The Benefit on Facebook.
And all tickets are $30. And with that, there's a silent auction, and there's a meet and greet the artists afterwards with food. And so you get a full package when you come to the show.
What's not to love? I'll be there. We're looking forward to it. Thank you, Jamie, for that. We'll talk more about what you've been doing in a little while. Mark Schwamberger, thank you for being here. First of all, reintroduce us to the Evolution Theater.
Evolution Theater Company is Central Ohio's only LGBTQIA theater company. And I know that's a lot of letters and there's a lot of alphabet soups, but mainly we support the lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender community. Our mission is to present shows that are by, for, or about the community, supporting our past, present, and future. So we're very dedicated to presenting only those works. And there, we present new works, works that have seldom to be seen in the area, and original works.
I saw Corpus Christi, which is your current production, opens tonight. Mm-hmm. I saw it in New York. I crossed a picket line to get into it.
Yes.
And was glad I did, because I must tell you, there's a scene at the very beginning of the play where the apostles are baptized, which people were crying in the audience. It was a very beautiful moment. This is a controversial play by Terrence McNally. Full disclosure, I kind of know him. I've been on radio panels with him, and I'm familiar certainly with his works. But this is not the first time Corpus Christi has been done in Columbus. It's been done—
No, actually, it was done about 15 years ago, and this current production is being presented in association with CATCO. Joe Bishara is the director of Corpus Christi. And it just so happens that 15 years ago, Joe Bishara played the role of Judas when it was done in the same theater, the Shed Theater at the Columbus Forming Arts Center. So he's sort of come full circle by being in the cast, and now he's directing it in the same theater where it was performed 15 years ago.
We had hoped to have him on today, but he has a newborn, and the pediatrician changed the appointment. And I'm here to tell you, when that happens, you do what the pediatrician tells you.
Exactly.
So shout out to Joe Bishara, who's directing your current production. 15 years ago, he must have been very young when he did Judas, because he's pretty young now. He looks young anyway. Anyway, tell me about Corpus Christi. It is controversial. Why? Tell me what I mean. It's a town in Texas where McNally was born, but it's a double-edged meaning.
Right, exactly. Yeah. The title really is Corpus Christi, because it was set in Corpus Christi, Texas. But of course, if anybody knows, Corpus Christi is also the body of Christ. So it's sort of it was very controversial. It's one of the most controversial shows of the 20th century, which was the last century, mainly because it is the retelling of the life of Christ. Terrence McNally's Christ figure is gay, Joshua. He's in Corpus Christi, Texas. He's bullied and made to feel like he is less than a person because he's gay. He then travels and he picks up the disciples. It's really a retelling. It's it parallels the New Testament with Christ's story. And yes, Terrence McNally's Christ figure is gay. Yes, the play is political. Yes, it may offend some people because of the retelling using a gay man portraying a Christ figure.
But there's nothing gratuitous about it. Having seen it and read it, there's nothing. It's not a dirty play at all. It's actually, and I came to it. Now, I'm full disclosure. I'm an old Boston Irish guy. I mean, I was ready to be offended by this, and I certainly wasn't. I mean, I recognize the fact that it might not be for everyone, but I was not offended by it. I was moved by it.
Right, and that's the whole thing, because even though the Christ figure is gay, it still uses the Christ story to tell a contemporary tale with a fight against bigotry, prejudice, hypocrisy, really the teachings of Christ. And that's what it is. And I think that, and I will, I just want to, I did a lot of research, of course, when I'm doing the show. I always do. I read what happened in, you know, if there's reviews or what happened in previous productions and everything. And one thing I did a lot of research as to McNally's feeling about this. And I just, his feeling about it, and I think it's very important that he wrote this in a vocabulary that makes it accessible to gay men and women who have been left out of the religious conversation for so very long. So it's sort of, you know, it's bringing them back to Christ's teaching. And I don't want to get too heavy because it's entertaining. It's, you know,
it's a good show.
It's a good show. There is some laughs, but of course it's a story of Christ. We all know what happens.
I wanted to ask you, I don't know if you were involved in production 15 years ago or not, but, you know, Stephen, did you see that production 15 years ago?
I did not.
Oh, you did not. Okay. I'm just wondering how that was received then and how it's going to be received now as the world changes.
I've talked to Joe about this, and right now we've had no pushback from doing the production.
Now, I don't think you will. I don't.
He said back in 15 years ago there were a few picketers or whatever, but I don't know. We've talked about it. We are, you know, we've discussed it, but I hope we don't, and I hope people realize that we're not trying to make a statement here about Christ's sexuality. We're trying to present a story that's more inclusive to a group of people that have been left out of this conversation for so long.
That is the role of the arts, in my opinion, is to include everybody and to tell stories, you know, really to tell stories, which I think will be done. When I saw the play, it was accomplished very, very well.
Right. So. And the other thing, the one thing that we do, this is, Joe talks about it being like a story theater in the sense that the way the play is set, we're telling a story. It isn't right. It isn't meant to retell the Bible. We're telling a story in a different way.
Right. The theater also is meant to be provocative, and certainly I look forward to seeing your production of Corpus Christi. It opens tonight.
Well, actually, we have previews
tonight
and tomorrow, and our official opening is May 4th.
And if people want more information, they would go where?
They would go to evolutiontheater.org, where there is a link. If you go to our news page, there's a long synopsis of the play. You can find out what it's about, and there's links to purchase tickets.
So you're not hiding anything on the website. You're telling people what it is. I mean,
Christopher, I don't hide anything.
Okay, then. Well, I mean, that's why we work in radio. We will be back. We're going to take a quick break and come back and talk with Stephen Anderson about Henry Ford's Model E and I Do, and what goes on at Catco. We're going to get Jimmy Arante to tell us what he's been doing while he's been busy. He hasn't been home very much, but he's here today. And we'll be back shortly. Don't go away. We are back with this morning's All Sides Weekend, a very busy weekend here in Central Ohio and Columbus. If you love the arts, boy, if you love the arts, this is a great town to live in.
Isn't it? It really is.
We're talking with Stephen Anderson, who is the producing director of Catco. We're talking with Mark Schwamberger, who is the managing artistic director of the Evolution Theater, and with Jimmy Arante, dancer choreographer, who is a co-producer with Attila Bognar of The Benefit at the Rife Center on the 21st of May to benefit the Central Ohio chapter of the Hemophilia Foundation. We'll get to that in a bit. Stephen Anderson, you have, as I said earlier, a hit on your hands. I've heard nothing but great things from people who have been there to see the play you're presenting now, Henry Ford's Model E by Herb Brown. Discuss.
Yeah. About 2.5 years ago, when we were working on the final table, Herb told me that his next project was going to be a story about Henry Ford and his son Edsel. And as he described it to me, I said, "Herb, that's my play. That's a play
Why?
Because it's about human relationships, and it's not big and bombastic as the final table was. It really delves into, I mean, who doesn't have a complex relationship with their parents? You know, I mean, it's been interesting as I've explained what we were doing to people. They'd sort of lean forward because it's true. I mean, we love our parents, but we also, you know, wonder why they did what they did. And this is a really, Henry Ford was
not a nice man.
Well, he was not a nice man, it's true. And there was a dark side to him. He was an anti-Semite, and he was a Nazi sympathizer. And in the play mentions the fact that Hitler had a picture of him in his office and had read his autobiography, and he was proud of that. But he professed great love for his son, but in what can only be referred to as a sort of Oedipal situation, he tried to keep his son from being successful. And so he constantly publicly humiliated him. He made him the head of the company, but would keep him from doing things that he wanted to do.
When you read the play for the first time, what was your initial reaction? Was it done when you first read it, or did it need to be read a few times?
Plays are never done.
They're never done. No, that's true.
I recognized in it a new voice for Herb.
Tell us a little bit about Herb Brown,
the
writer.
Well, Herb was an attorney, and then he became an Ohio Supreme Court judge. And then he tired of that, and so he studied Jungian psychology for a while. And then he decided he wanted to write murder mysteries. And so he wrote several murder mysteries that were quite successful. And then he decided that he wanted to try his hand at playwriting. And so Catco produced Before My Time there, You're My Boy, which was the story of Richard Nixon and Dwight Eisenhower. And then of course, The Final Table, which was about five presidents in purgatory, which was very funny. I mean, it had substance, but it used humor as a major part of the vehicle.
I think you had to extend that. That was very successful.
No,
yes.
It was very popular. And now this piece, which anytime you're doing new work, it's sort of like giving birth, because everything is for the first time, it's easy to miss something. Herb won't mind, I'm sure, if I share one of them. And there's a line that Henry Ford had in one draft where he says, "They made a woman the head of labor relations. What does a woman know about labor?"
Wow!
And believe it or not, that sort of slid by us a couple of times, and then I started laughing. And Herb was like, "What are you laughing about?" I said, "Well, I think we better change this text." So that's what makes it fascinating. And the three guys who are doing the play, Steve Black and Todd Covert and Christopher Storer, have really been generous in their approach to this.
It's playing at the Rife Center as well?
It is, in the Studio 2.
And how long is it running?
It runs one more weekend after this.
Okay. And then you have a musical.
And when I was a little boy, I had a recording of I Do, I Do, and I know it by heart. I could do it all for you now, which I'm not going to do,
great.
I promise.
Then we'll do Corpus Christi. Great.
Well, there's a whole tradition of radio theater. At any rate, it's something that I've always loved, and Joe Bishara, who seems to be the busiest man in show business right now.
And he has a baby now. His life's over anyway, so that's it. That's, yes.
Really. And his wife, Liz Wheeler, are going to be playing opposite each
other. Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
so it's a...
Joe's a fine singer, which I didn't know. I knew that was his major in college. I didn't know that about him. Yeah.
No, and actor. So yeah. They're both quite good. So we're looking forward to having that time. I don't get to work with Joe very often.
Are you going to take care of the baby if they're on stage?
I have a history of doing that. When I did Candide, I had a baby on one arm.
I remember that. Yes, you did. Yes, you did. All right, we'll talk about that a little more. I want to go back to Jimmy Arante just for a while and just fill in on the benefit. Again, this is Sunday, May 21st at 5.
At 5 p.m., yes.
And the Davidson Theater in the Rife Center, which people know as the Capitol Theater. It's recently been renamed. This is benefits the Columbus chapter of the Hemophilia Society.
Yes.
It is your fourth season.
This is our fourth season doing
first
it.
Time downtown, first time
first,
in the Rife Center.
First time in the Rife Center.
And you're opening with Pas de Deux from Swan Lake. You are choreographing. So if you love Well, you tell us.
I mean, you know, and also I just have to say about all the dancers that are going to this is an opportunity to see multiple dancers from different companies. We have, aside from Ballet dancers, we have a few from Columbus Dance Theater, Cincinnati Ballet coming up, Milwaukee Ballet, Rochester Ballet, Miami City Ballet. So we have a really, really good mix of dancers from different companies coming in.
When you choreograph, do you begin with music, or do you begin with the people you know who are going to be dancing? How does that work?
I think it's different for every choreographer. That's what's exciting about it. I anticipate what's going to excite me about the new work. And for these two pieces on here that I'm going to create two is a Rachmaninoff. One is I just hear the music so right now. I'm listening to the music and I wait to see what comes into my head, what kind of movement, what kind of style, because I only have a week to prepare all this. So when the dancers come in the studio, we have a week, so we have to work fast. So I have to go in there with something planned out. I can't take my time and wait on this one.
Can you do it all? I only talk about stuff. I can't do anything. That's why I have this job. So I really can't.
You speak about it. Brilliant.
No, but I do, don't I? But I'm just saying, I mean, really, you have a week to put this program together.
Yeah, but when you're working with great artists like this, collaboration comes pretty natural in the studio. So we kind of feed off each other and it kind of rolls seamlessly that way.
Tell me about Attila Bogdanar. I know him from Ballet Met. He's a principal dancer there, has been for a while. He is your co-producer on this.
He's co-producer, yes.
What's his role in this?
He helps planning the program. He helps contact people to come in. We both do the same thing. So we're always reaching out. And it's gotten to a point now where we have artists calling us to see if we need performers as to be part of the benefit. So
you have the Camerata Orchestra. You have Luis Biava conducting.
Yes.
You have some great dancers from all over the ballet world in the States, at least. And we have Jimmy Arante, who luckily is still here. He's still living here. So let's keep Jimmy busy and happy, okay? Because it's people like this who keep the performing arts and people like Steven Anderson and Mark Schwamberger who keep the performing arts in Columbus, and keep it as busy as it is. Speaking of busy, Peggy Creadai is the artistic director of Opera Columbus. She is currently in Toronto where she is killing children as Medea in Chapontier's opera of the same title. In fact, she has a performance tonight. And she's not one of these divas who says, oh, I don't talk on the day I sing. So she's talking to us. Hello, Peggy Creadai.
Hi, thanks for having me.
How are you?
I am a little sleepy, but I'm good.
I don't really care because I got a show to do. Now listen, you are the artistic director of Opera Columbus, which means that you are in charge with everything one sees and hears on the stage of the Southern Theater. And you have, when you are done with Medea in a couple of days, you're coming back to supervise rehearsals of Bizet's Carmen, which is an opera everybody thinks they know. But knowing Peggy and knowing Opera Columbus, I suspect there will be some surprises.
There will be. I'm so ready to come be a part of the show back home. We have decided to go back to the original play for Carmen and go back to the source and interpret it based on that. And a big reason for that is Carmen. I love Carmen. It's famous for a reason, but it can be very cliche, and she can almost become a caricature in opera, and with the red flower and the
hands on her hips, right?
Yes. So nothing wrong with that. However, I feel like the story had the original intent was so much deeper than that. And we wanted to dig into her psyche and her character and show her as the woman she was originally cast as.
It is an opera.
Which is.
Go ahead.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, which is more about a very strong woman who is swayed in lots of different ways and pulled in lots of different directions, not necessarily using her sexuality to get everything, but rather being recognized for her sexuality and her surviving.
Everybody knows the tunes of this opera. Everybody knows the da-da-da-da-da-da, all that stuff. But tell me, what would be unexpected for people coming to see this opera?
Well, speaking of ballet, we are lucky to have Ballet Met 2 in this show. And this is a big chorus show. The Southern stage is not very big, which makes for very intimate storytelling. So we decided the movement would tell the story as well. And we have the chorus off stage, so we can have a large chorus in the boxes making beautiful sounds in the theater. And then we have Ballet Met 2 aiding in the storytelling on stage, which isn't typical for this show.
Do you have the Columbus Symphony, and who's conducting and who's directing? And
okay, good stuff, good stuff. Yes, we have the Columbus Symphony Orchestra. We're lucky to have them. We have an all-woman artistic team on this show, so also extremely rare. We have Amoi, the producer, a woman. We have the Susan Petrie, who's our choreographer, Crystal Manich, our director, and Kathleen Kelly, who's the conductor.
Crystal Manich has been here before, hasn't she?
She has,
yes.
And she's so fabulous. Actually, I just got a text from the conductor saying, oh my gosh, I love Crystal Manich, just last night. So she's so clever and interesting, and she does a lot of research before she approaches a staging rehearsal. So it's always very informed and has a lot of depth, her storytelling does. And we have French dialogue in the show, so it's going to be shaped like a Broadway show, kind of. So the play moves along with movement and song, and then we have the dialogue, which propels the plot. And then we have another musical number that everybody knows, and then we go back to the plot progressing. So it's a different way to view Carmen, and I think it'll move really quickly, and it'll be extremely entertaining.
From what you're describing to me, the way you're doing it is probably close to what Bizet saw when it was first done in 1875, with the spoken dialogue. And you'll probably get in the audience lots of delight, recognition every time a new tune comes on, because as I say, this is something everybody knows. When is it being performed?
Okay, so our dress rehearsal, which you can buy a ticket to.
I'm sneaking in. I'm not buying a ticket, so that's fine. But anybody else can buy a ticket.
I always give you a ticket.
Yes,
I
you
always,
do.
As my opera boyfriend, you always get a ticket.
Yes, thank you.
Wednesday, May 3rd at 1 p.m. Friday night is nearly sold out. I haven't looked at the ticket sales today, but it could be sold out even today. So if you want to go Friday, which is a fun day, Friday, May 5th, 7:30 p.m., get those tickets really soon. And then Sunday is our last show, May 7th at 2 p.m.
And I'm there at 1 p.m. with free cake, so that's a great way to go too on Sunday, right? Seriously.
Are you bringing cake for
everyone?
No,
you usually have cake when we do that, so that's fine. We're looking forward to that. So one more time, Opera Columbus's Carmen is next week, Wednesday, Friday, and Sunday at the Southern Theater. Go to the Opera Columbus website and you'll get more information.
And we have a bourbon bar on Friday.
And a bourbon bar on Friday. Well, that got some attention.
Yes.
That's great. Well, we'll look for it. Peggy Creadie.
Forget
the cake. Peggy Creadie, thank you very much for taking the time out. Go back to bed. You have a show to do tonight and tomorrow, I think, through the weekend.
Yes.
And come home safely.
Thanks.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Peggy Creadie. I'm Christopher Purdy. You are listening to All Sides Weekend here on 89.7 NPR News, talking about the arts and culture in Central Ohio with Peggy Creadie, the artistic director of Opera Columbus. Their production of Carmen is next week at the Southern Theater. Jimmy Arante is the co-producer, co-artistic director of The Benefit, which is May 21st in the Rife Center, the Davidson Theater. That's at 5 p.m. Mark Schwamberger is the managing director of Evolution Theater. His production of Terrence McNally's Corpus Christi is in previews currently. And Stephen Anderson is the producing director of Catco. We were talking about musicals. We were talking about dance, music, choreography, Pretty Girls and Carmen, and controversial plays. We're having a great time here. Seriously, I mean, what living in Columbus and loving the arts is to be missed? Nothing. I mean, it's all there. Mark Schwamberger, because you're not a new guest here, but you haven't been here for a while. Update us on Evolution Theater in general and when it began and what kind of plays are. I know you're working with the LGBT community, but
right.
How are you finding plays to do and et cetera?
Well, Evolution Theater Incorporated, it started it in 2011. We're a nonprofit 501c3 corporation. I decide on what plays to do. I look at other theaters in the country that are like us, like about face in Chicago, Celebration in California, Out Front Theater in Atlanta, Georgia, those types of things, and see what's doing, Island City in Fort Lauderdale. But I also get a lot of plays sent to me from playwrights, new playwrights. That's how we got
Do you read them?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I spend months reading plays. Sometimes I feel like that scene at the producers where they're on the couch and there's just hundreds of plays around. But I'm looking for the good plays, not the bad plays. But that's how I got we're doing a world premiere called of Traveling, done by Kenneth Talbert from New York. The way I got that, he sent it to me. I read it. We talked, and that's how we do it. I always look for plays that fit my mission, the mission of the company. And I look, you know, I look at plays that also will mean something to the community. And one thing that Evolution Theater Company always strives to do is make theater affordable for everybody. You know, we spent, my partner and I went to a play, you know, went to theater in Fort Lauderdale, and we paid $500. The night was a $500 night when we got a ticket. But Evolution Theater, I mean, our price, normal prices are $20, $25, and $15. And this year we have established previews. Every production we have two previews, the first Friday and Saturday. Preview tickets for tonight and Saturday are only $12. I've also instituted student rush tickets because I know students have a limited amount of money. We have student rush tickets for $10 if you show your student ID at the box office. But, you know, my whole thing about Evolution Theater Company, I'm a very big believer in theater can be educational, that it's sort of like educating through entertainment. So a lot of the shows we do, yes, most of them do have a mission about the lesbian and gay community, but they're also entertaining because that's what theater is. I mean, theater and ballet and dance and whatever is an entertainment medium.
Well, you should come to Evolution just if you want to be entertained.
Exactly.
Doesn't matter who you are, right?
Exactly.
We're going to take a break right now and come back and talk some more with Jimmy Arante, with Mark Schwamberger, and with Steven Anderson. I'm Christopher Purdy. Don't go away. Arts and Culture in Central Ohio continues in a moment. We are back for our final segment of today's All Sides Weekend, talking about arts and culture in Central Ohio. And I want to just throw something out. Tomorrow at 11:30, tomorrow morning at the McCoy Performing Arts Center in New Albany, the New Albany Symphony is doing a special concert. They call it their sensory-friendly concert. It's perfect for children or anybody on the autism spectrum or people who are struggling with dementia. Anybody who needs a little extra TLC to be an audience member is invited to these concerts. This, again, is at 11:30 tomorrow. The music by Handel and Johann Strauss. Luis Biava's conducting the New Albany Symphony. It's about 40 minutes, so it's short. There are safe zones in the theater. If the kids want to get up and wander around or whatever, it's all safe and it's all good. They should do whatever they need to do to be comfortable there. It is 11:30 tomorrow morning at the McCoy Performing Arts Center in New Albany, the New Albany Symphony. You can get tickets at the door. I think they're just $5. If not, tell them you know me and make it $5 and just come and really come and make sure that anybody who really needs a little extra help to be in the audience knows about this and takes advantage. They have another concert Sunday at 3, but this one's really special and I hope people will turn out for it. Also, Ballet Met is opening their new production of Romeo and Juliet, Edward Liang's choreography, in the Ohio Theater tonight. It's this weekend. Prokofiev's Romeo and Juliet, choreographed by Edward Liang, with Peter Stafford Wilson conducting the Columbus Symphony. It is a rich and marvelous time for the performing arts in Ohio, in Central Ohio, and really what's going on is fairly typical. It's always busy. Speaking of busy, Jimmy Arante, I saw you a few months ago at the movies. You were with your kids, and I said, what are you doing? And he said, I've just come back from China. What have you been doing?
Well, for the past two summers, I've gone to China, yes. And I pretty much teach everybody from children to adults to professionals to pre-professional students. And I'd usually do about 2 weeks in China. And in February, this past, I was in Chicago for a month participating in Joffrey Ballet's Winning Works choreography series. And I just returned from Arkansas to see my premiere of Luminous to the music of Don Gillis on Ballet Arkansas.
And The Ugly Duckling, that's one of your pieces, isn't
it? I did that last year. I did The Ugly Duckling, yes.
You thought you were going to retire, didn't you? Stay home and mow the lawn. Forget about it.
Well, from dance I did, yes. I'm on another side of it, but still involved.
And what's coming up?
In October, I'll be part of the New Albany Symphony's season. I'll create a new work with the pre-professional students from the New Albany Ballet, where I'm currently on faculty.
Fantastic. And, of course, the benefit is May 21st.
May 21st.
5 o'clock, benefiting Central Ohio's chapter of the Hemophilia Foundation. It begins with Swan Lake. You begin with Swan Lake. You go to Rachmaninoff. You have some new work. You have Scriabin and the Holberg Suite. You have a lot of new work. And you end with Spartacus. What's not to love?
It's going to be a wonderful show. You know, different styles of music, different styles of dance. And it's a one-time show, and it's one of those ones. It's better to go see it and talk about it rather than to hear how good it
was.
That's
right. Very good line, I must say. Everything but Rachmaninoff to the blues. Stephen Anderson, let's go back. I Do is a musical. It is your next project at CATCO.
It is.
Joe Bishara and his wife are going to be in bed together and singing on stage.
Yes, they are married.
They got a license. They can do that.
Married.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. How did you come to choose this play? What's going on with CATCO? Are you up and running in the summer? What are you doing in the summer?
Well, we're pretty close to year round.
Yeah,
we'll start again very soon after Labor Day with Fun Home, which is a regional premiere and an absolutely stunning production. It really is. We're very fortunate to have been able to license it. We're one of the first regional theaters to do that. And then, of course, we have American Buffalo coming with Deaf West, which is the David Mamet play. And it will be completely performed with sign language with all three of the actors will perform with sign language, and then there will be subtitles and for those who don't understand. So it will really be the experience of being a deaf person in the theater.
And it's an interesting choice because that Mamet play is nothing but dialogue. It's incredible. Very salty dialogue, I might add.
But the signs, as you can imagine, are very...
So how did this collaboration come about?
Honestly, Bill Connor from Kappa,
may he rest in peace,
had the first idea of it. And he and I went in September to meet with DJ Coors, who is the artistic director of Deaf West. And Deaf West has a really vibrant culture now, and you know they did the Spring Awakening that was on Broadway, and so DJ and Bill and I really hit it off together, and they had done this production of American Buffalo, so that's the first of what I hope will be a group of collaborations between Deaf West, Kappa.
What a fantastic idea! So that the actors will be using sign language. And the rest of us will have titles and headphones if we need them for the dialogue itself. I would rather, I think, just watch them, to be honest with you. I mean, I'll read the play in advance, but just watch them because I'm sure that'd be very beautiful to do that.
You know, the Big River that they did, there was a moment in I'm Waiting for the Light to Shine, which you would see the chorus saying in unison, I'm waiting for, and signed, I'm waiting for the light to shine. And then suddenly the orchestra stopped and the singers stopped singing, but they continued to sign in unison. And it was absolutely breathtaking because it was like that moment of understanding, you know, making a bridge between deafness and hearing.
And you just needed to watch and be open to it. That's all. Yeah. You folks in this room, and of course Peggy Dias, well, you are all about not only collaboration, but rethinking the way the arts are presented. Mm-hmm. And I think that's part of what keeps the arts, what really has put Columbus on the map here, on the cultural map. And Mark Schwamberger, you have your own theater. You identify it as an LGBT-friendly theater, but really it's a theater.
Right. I mean, it's a theater for everyone. And that's why with that alphabet soup that I said before, one of the most important letters in that is A for ally, because those are the people that aren't identified in the gay or lesbian or bisexual or transgender community but still believe in the fight that we still have to go through, the rights that we still have to fight for, and they support us. So we can't do it without our allies. So that's why, really, Evolution Theatre Company is not people ask me, well, do you have to be gay to be acting? No. I mean, the majority—
You have to be an actor, period.
You just have to be an actor. Yeah. And it's sort of like, but the mission is to present stories about the community and written by the community, and to give voice to these playwrights, composers that people may be a little hesitant to produce their play, where I say, you know, I have to produce the play.
So tell me about some of the actors who are in Corpus Christi.
A lot of the actors, I mean, one of them that Stephen will know, Ralph Scott is in Corpus Christi. Andrew Constantine
Protopapas.
Yes.
Protopapas.
He is Joshua in the play. We have a lot of actors that worked for CATCO since, you know, Joe is directing it. We have a lot of actors that I've worked before that have been in other productions of Evolution Theatre Company. And so, I mean, there's just a mixture of a lot of the very special good actors in the community.
I was going to ask, do a lot of them live here? I mean,
most, yes.
Yeah, well,
actually,
yeah.
we use all local talent. We use both equity and non-equity. And most of our productions, I would say 98% of it, it's all local talent, whether it's the lighting, the director, the sound design, the actors. So there, we draw from it, because the other thing I believe in is, as you would say, to keep Columbus vibrant, to keep these people in Columbus.
Keep them living here, right.
So that they don't feel like they have to go to Chicago or Philadelphia or wherever to do their art, that they can do it right here. So I try to give as much opportunity as I can to local talent and artists, so that they can hone their craft right here in their hometown.
And I'd like to add to that, that 10 years ago you would not have seen two companies working in association with one another.
Exactly.
It's not on CATCO's season, but we've been able to support Evolution, and as they put
that together.
How are
you doing that specifically?
Being in the building at CPEC, where we manage the building. Certainly,
that was your home for a while, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, it's the home for CATCO as kids.
That's right, of course.
Right,
yes,
and it
yes,
was the Players Theater, Players Theater home as well. But finding one of the things that we realized at CATCO was that you can't have alternative theater if you don't have a sort of an alternative to what. And so it's in our best interest to do whatever we can to help.
Right, and the support that we've gotten from CATCO and other the community, and think it's very. I mean, I'm very pleased with that. I was worried when in 2015 or 2014, I went to my board and said, okay, we're going to re-identify ourselves as Central Ohio's only LGBTQIA theater company. I mean, I had some concerns because our...
Why? Yeah.
Well, because our mission, that makes it so specific. Okay. I mean, you know, and there's a place for all these other theater companies. There's a place for the theater companies that do the traditional musical. There's a place for all that. But there's also a place for, as we were once called, the provocative theater in Columbus. And I thought that it was actually sort of meant as a dig. I took it as a compliment.
Mm-hmm. I think it's a compliment.
I think it's a compliment.
I think it's what theater's meant to be.
Right. And so, you know, we're very thankful for these collaborations because, let's face it, Columbus, the theater community in Columbus, we are one community, and we should be supporting each other and trying to make us all survive with our missions and what we want the community to see us do.
Well, now, Jimmy Arante, you were for many years the male dancer at Ballet Met, and then you retired from dancing and you got busier doing everything else involved with dance and teaching and choreographing. But you're now working with all kinds of different performing arts associations. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Specifically to Columbus, what are you finding in terms of being a collaborator?
You know what I'm finding, especially when I'm trying to program the benefit, how willing Because, you know, all this is done on, they all volunteer their time and their talent. Right. So no one gets paid
you
to do this.
You are raising money here.
We're
for
raising
a good
money,
cause.
Yes.
Right.
So yeah. Everybody's coming together. But how agreeable everyone was just to do it. So we had to be careful of how many people we asked, because everyone we did ask was willing to participate in the benefit.
Yeah.
So it's just like you just mentioned, support and everybody coming together. And there was no doubting when we asked them. No one said like, well, let me get back to you. Let me see. We just said, sure, we'll do it. What do you need?
And you will be working next season with the New Albany Symphony.
Yes.
Doing dance for them. Ballet Met 2 is in Carmen, Opera Columbus' production, which is next week at the Southern Theater. This is getting exhausting telling you all this stuff, but I have to do it. Ballet Met's Romeo and Juliet opens tonight with the Columbus Symphony and Edward Liang's choreography. And the New Albany Symphony has concerts this weekend. And Mark Schwamberger, now after Corpus Christi, when that's done, what happens?
Our next production is Boston Marriage by David Mamet. We then are doing the area premiere of Topher Payne's new play, Perfect Arrangement, that is, even though it's set in the 50s, it's really very topical right now with what's happening in our political world. And then after that, we do the world premiere of Traveling. And then we close our season.
Is Traveling the one that came to you?
Yes, okay. Traveling is the...
Remind us about that play again.
Traveling is a new play written by Kenneth Talbert, a New York playwright, and it's a unique mixture of drama and ballet and original music. So there's going to be original choreography, original music.
Collaboration.
And, right. And so it's not a musical, but it's a drama play that incorporates a different medium, having ballet come into the play. It's a very interesting piece. And then we end our season in November with the most fabulous story ever told by Paul Rudnick. Again, we open our season with the New Testament, and we close our season with the Old Testament.
Right.
Yes, okay. I had it mixed up.
All right.
So, yes, we're sort of bookending
you
it.
You might
so.
Want to write that down
yes,
for future reference. Corpus Christi is tonight at the right. Shed, on which is on Park.
Franklin Avenue.
Franklin, thank you, Stephen. It's on Franklin.
549 Franklin.
I've only been there for how many years?
Your office is there, Mark.
My office is there, and I can't remember the address. But yes, 8 o'clock tonight, 8 o'clock on Saturday, and then we open on May 4th. And as Christopher said before, I really don't have anything to hide. You can find out everything about our productions at our website, evolutiontheater.org. And since we do new works, what I do is, prior to all of our productions, on our news page, there is a longer synopsis of the play so you can be familiar what you're going to see.
Will you have any talkbacks after performance?
We will for Traveling. Unfortunately, and I haven't talked to Steve, I haven't talked to Joe about Corpus Christi, but
Joe, you're
could.
In the pediatrician's waiting room.
Yes,
I think you should have talkbacks. I'm just saying, okay?
Yeah, Joe, I think we should.
All right. All right.
So, yes.
And Stephen Anderson, very quickly, I Do is a musical coming to Catco. It's a two-character play. It was very successful.
Yeah.
It ran for a long time.
It's had several lifetimes. And Joe Bashar is not going to forgive me if I don't mention that this summer we're actually doing Shakespeare and Star Wars. And it's the first Star Wars story done in the style of Shakespeare. And it will be young people performing for young people, and it's sponsored by PNC Arts Alive.
Which we thank God for them, because they've been very generous to the arts in Central Ohio, PNC Arts Alive. Will you be working in the Commons? Is that
No.
Okay.
This will take place at the Lincoln Theater.
Okay. I'm Christopher Purdy. We've been talking about the arts in Central Ohio. We've been very busy, and we're scratching the surface with so much going on. I want to remind everybody, 11:30 tomorrow morning at the McCoy Arts Center in New Albany, the New Albany Art Symphony's sensory-friendly performance, perfect for kids on the autism spectrum or anybody who needs a little extra TLC to be an audience member. Jimmy Arante is the co-producer with Attila Bognar of The Benefit, which benefits the Central Ohio chapter of the Hemophilia Association. It is May 21st at 5 o'clock in the Rife Center Davidson Theater, and it's everybody terrific. in that. And Jimmy, thank you for doing that. And
sure, thank you.
Keep going. Come back and talk to us again. Great. Mark Schwamberger is the artistic director of the Evolution Theater, and his production of Terrence McNally's Corpus Christi is in previews. You can see it tonight at 8 o'clock.
Yes.
More information, Evolution Theater, just Google it, and it's all there. You have a very compelling and a complete website for that.
Thank you.
And Stephen Anderson is the producing director of Catco. Henry Ford's Model E is currently being performed at the Rife Center. Looking forward to the musical I Do, I Do. I Do, I Do say thank you very much for joining us today. I'm Christopher Purdy for All Sides Weekend. Thank you to producer Michael DeBonis, to assistant producer Shyla Knott. The All Sides interns are Sarah Stacey, Kyle McKinnon, and Emily Sink, with video production by Rich Blue and Amber Blue. I'm Christopher Purdy. Get busy, go to the theater, go to the ballet, and enjoy.